Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I'm here with my friend, Art Costello. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sean, I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. So, Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to then elevate everyone around us to that next level. And so you can listen to us live at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, but we're doing shows about 11, maybe 12 o'clock as well. So stay tuned for those special episodes for November and December. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, and the Google Play Music app. I ask that you subscribe wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. Never miss an episode. On the show, my guests are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who are amazing people who are impacting the world around them, and art does exactly that. If you have any questions for anyone that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number, 657-383-1109. So, Art, man, I'm honored, absolutely honored to have you on the show, my friend, especially Veterans Day week.
Well, it's been an exciting week around Austin, Texas, with veterans celebrations going on and honoring the veterans. So I'm honored to be with you, Sean.
Yeah, man. I know you've spent some time in the Marine Corps during the Vietnam era, so I just want to thank you for your service, my friend.
Well, thank you, and thank you for yours.
Thank you. So the episode today is titled Expectation Therapy with Art Costello. As an author and speaker and successful entrepreneur, Art offers wisdom as well as tangible tools for success that will help boost your confidence, encourage your journey, and affirm you as you begin to enjoy the freer, more productive life you've always longed for. Art currently lives in Austin, Texas with his wife, Beverly. He also has three grown children and five grandchildren. Art's background includes serving as a Marine in Vietnam, playing college and semi-professional baseball, and working as a talent scout in the entertainment industry. As a counselor at Mercy Mental Health in San Diego, he has worked with world-renowned play researcher Dr. Stuart Brown. And you can go to the website at expectationtherapy.com. All of his websites, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, everything is right there. You go ahead and check out those links below. So, Art, man, the first question I always ask my guests is why? What is your why, your deep why for what you do?
I've always had a passion for helping people since I came home from Vietnam, or actually when it started when I was in Vietnam. And that is my passion, to teach, to help, and watch people grow. That's what I do. And I do it through having them be able to manage their expectations.
What do you mean manage expectations? What does that mean?
Well, let me start by telling you a little bit about my background and my story. I think that that's a good way to get started.
Sure.
When I was 9 years old, I was abandoned and left to figure out life on my own. And I made a trip up a mountain by the house that I was living in, being very, very depressed and just not knowing what was going to happen. And I made many trips up onto that hill. One day I was laying on my back and God what was going to become of me. And I heard this voice deep down inside of me, and really kind of scared me at the time, being 9 years old and hearing that. But it just told me to be faithful and everything would work out. And I made a lot of trips up and down that hill and just talking and listening to that voice. And I figured out a way to get out of the situation I was in by joining the Marine Corps at 17 after I graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. Went to Vietnam. It was a eye-opening experience. I was with the very first Marines that went into Vietnam, and it was
wow.
More about surviving and as it is in most combat situations. But we were very much involved in the pacification program, and I was with a CAC unit, which is a combined action company, and we had 26 popular forces, PFs, with us. And then there was 12 Marines, and we lived in a village. And one night we were coming off of a patrol, and I came down around the side of a hooch. And when I walked around the side of it, I saw a little 9-year-old girl staring up at me through chicken wire. And at that moment, my eyes caught hers, and hers caught mine. And I had this epiphany that I had to help that little girl. So when I got back to our compound, the chaplain happened to be there, and I asked him if he knew what that facility was, what that place was. And he said, yeah. And he told me it was an orphanage. And I wrote home immediately to my parents and asked them to send all the money that I had saved because I wanted to help this child. And what ended up happening is my parents started a whole program of sending supplies over for the orphanage so we could take care of the
other
18 kids in there. And it actually ended up going through throughout South Vietnam, where my parents actually ended up helping many, many orphanages in their area. It was called Operation Morale. My parents won some awards, presidential awards, for helping with that program. But what happened was, is I tried to, when my tour was up, I tried to adopt the little girl. And of course, being an 18-year-old Marine single, the Marine Corps said, we ain't letting you take that little girl home. Not happening. So I made arrangements for her to be taken care of with Father Volch, who was the chaplain. And for 2 years, I did everything I could to take care of her, sent her to school, always made sure she was clothed and had the best of everything, as we tried to with all the kids.
Wow.
But, in 1968, I got a letter from Father Volz telling me not to send any money anymore during the Tet Offensive. As many of the Vietnam veterans know, that during the Tet Offensive, if you had any contact with the Americans, they eliminated you. So the orphanage was pretty much used as a human shield when they tried to attack the Marine compound where I used to be stationed. And
right.
I don't know if the kids were lost or not, but Father Volz told me not to send the money anymore. So I assume that Yoon was lost. But that was a major blow, major eye-opening experience. But it's always catapulted me into just really trying to do the best I can at everything. So after I came home from Vietnam, I went to college and got my degrees and started, met my wife, and started a business. And pretty much my whole life, I believed in this voice that I had heard as a 9-year-old. Well, in 2003, after 35 years of marriage and 30 some years of owning my own business, my lovely wife was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And in 2006, she passed away. September 16th, 2006. And I fell apart. I just literally fell apart. So after about 2 years after she had passed, and acting like a jerk, doing stuff that I had never done before, drinking heavy, and just not being a good person, I had my kids come over to the ranch one night, and they said, "Dad, you promised Mom you weren't going to do this." And for me, it was another eye-opening experience. And at 2 o'clock that night, after the kids had left, I went back out onto the lawn of the ranch, and I laid on my back, looking up into the sky, and I asked God what was going to become of me again. And I heard a voice inside of me again, and it said, "I've given you all the tools. Get off your ass and go use them." And from that moment on, my life changed. I got up, and, you know, I had never dreamt about being writing a book or being an author or doing anything like that, but I started writing. And out of the writing came the book Expectation Therapy. And it just falls right back into looking back on my life and realizing that it was through my expectation and my belief system of always knowing that everything is going to work out just the way it's supposed to if you just follow what you believe in and you live passionately and work hard and do all the, you know, use the disciplines I learned in the Marine Corps and just apply all the things that I've learned in my life. So at 63 years old, I started rebuilding my life, and everything has just blossomed from that. And that's the story of how expectation therapy came about.
So one of the things that I love about the show is that we've all gone through these moments. We all go through these troubling times, this adversity, you know, and I love talking about how you overcome that. So would you say that this is the moment when you're on the lawn, you're laying on your back, you're looking up at the stars, praying to God or just yelling at God or whatever you're doing, and was that the transformational moment that changed your life to put you on the path to what you're doing today?
I actually believe it was when I was 9 years old, because when I started my belief system, prior to that, I was pretty depressed and lost, but that gave me the confidence. The Marine Corps gave me the structure and the discipline, but I have always used that moment when I was 9 years old. I have always had the belief that everything I am ever going to do, whether it be in business, with my relationships, with my family, no matter what it is, everything is always going to work out as long as I'm faithful and passionate about the things and become a doer. I always talk about being a doer. You can think everything you want, but until you take the action and the steps, it's merely a thought in your head. I mean, one of the things in expectation therapy is an expectation stays an expectation until you actually make an action plan to make it happen. So that's
very cool, man.
Yeah. And one of
that transformational moment was 9 years old. You believe that was the transformational moment?
That was the moment. That was the moment, because my belief system has never been shaken since then. It was, and the other part of it was, is having the structure of the military. I mean, it just gave me the discipline. I was in much need of being disciplined, and it gave me the discipline and matched with my belief system to conquer the world, do anything I want. That's why when you look at my bio and you see I played baseball and I was in the entertainment business and I own my own business, it's because I'm fearless. I just do. And then I adjust as I do. And that's about part of what expectation therapy is about. It's about managing your expectations, having the belief that everything is always going to work out as long as you keep doing it and you expect the best.
Wow. It's a great belief.
It never fails.
Right?
It just never fails.
Yeah.
So how do you
elevate the lives around you? What is it that you do right now that empowers people to live like an epic life? Or is it like the expectations of life? Like, how do you work right now to bring up the people around you?
What I do is I teach people to manage their expectations. I have an online course that I teach, but the three basics of expectations. and they're very, very simple, and they're very doable, is first to identify it, second is to clarify it, and third is to solidify it with a written plan. If you do those things and follow through on them, you're, everything will always work out. It just, it guides you through it. So let me kind of tell you how that came about. In physics, there's a formula called the formula of expectation, and that's how I developed this. That what it is in the formula of expectations, it's a mathematical formula. I converted it into a behavioral formula, which is basically identify, clarify, and solidify. And that's how the mathematical formula is how mathematicians and scientists determine the probability of a, of an experiment coming to fruition and what the odds are on it. So I just turned it around and put it into a behavioral formula that's very simple, very doable. People can use it on a daily basis. Once you start using it and keep doing it, it becomes ingrained in your head and you automatically do it. And it's very transformational.
Very cool. What's the repercussions if you don't use this strategy?
Well, I mean, for some people, it's really critical because they just kind of float aimlessly around and really don't have a clear path to where they're going. This will give you a clear path and a plan of action. I work with people on the solidification part a lot because the two critical parts of it are identifying what you want to change and what you want to do. And then the third critical part is the solidification, where we actually write out a written plan, how to get from point A to point B, no matter what it is you want to change in your life. And it gives you a clear path, and it holds you accountable. And I become your accountability partner in holding your feet to the fire to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
really cool.
It actually really is very simple, but very effective.
Yeah.
And that's the important part, is being effective, because it changes people's lives very quickly. Mm-hmm. It gets to the root of the problem and then gives you a path to solve it. No matter what issue you have, you know, when I think I actually learned it in Vietnam and in the early parts of my life, because I had to figure out everything on my own, and I just started doing that. So it was very simple for me, but you know, that's one of the things about the path that we have to transformation is that if we listen to what's going on around us and what's happening, and we start to believe and make sure that we've got a clear path to a solution, then we can correct things very easily.
Very cool. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. So what are some resources if someone wants to learn more about that expectation therapy? What are some resources, or where should we send the listeners to learn more about what you do and your expectation therapy?
They can go to my website, expectationtherapy.com, and get, you know, plenty of information. All the tabs will lead you. There's a tab to the course. There's, you know, the normal stuff that's on websites about helping. We're also, I'm starting on December 26th, my own podcast called Shower Epiphanies.
What's it called? Shower
Epiphanies.
Shower.
I get some of my best thoughts in the shower. You know, when waters run. And we all do.
Right?
We all do. That's the fun part of it.
I thought I was the only one who ever liked conversations with yourself and go, oh, that's an amazing idea.
let me ask you something. What do you do with them once you have that idea?
Sometimes I forget it. Like, oh, that's a great idea. And then I'm, you know, I get out of the shower, I get my day started. I'm like, oh, what was I thinking about? Oh, man. Do you know that?
That's the most common answer that I get to that question. You know what I'm going to suggest to you, Sean?
Record it.
Go and get a chalkboard. They have just go on Amazon or any Michaels or any of these places and get a chalkboard and put it in your shower and then some chalk and just write down these epiphanies that you have. Because the epiphanies that we have are our subconscious telling our conscious part of us that we need to be doing something. And if you'll listen to it,
huh,
and start acting on them, you'll be amazed at what it will do, how it will transform you. I have a shower. I have a chalkboard in my shower, and I scribble things all the time. One or two words that just will remind me what my thought was while I was in the shower.
It's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah, I thought about, like, man, how can I remember? Like, what do I got to do? And, you know, so that's – yeah, because I don't know. I just think about stuff. I don't know why. I just think about stuff.
It's the water going over you that just cleanses and clears your mind. And, you know, and it's different for everybody. Some people can do it outside the shower. I mean, some people do it driving in cars. Some people on their commuting to on a train. You know, I think it's really just letting your mind go and listening to what your brain is telling you.
I do, like, have some of my best moments. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, that'd be so amazing. And then I, like, start, like forecasting life out. Like, man, what if I do that? And then I can do this. And, oh, man, I do that and make this money and I do this. Oh, and then I can do this. And it just, like, starts branching into its own idea. And then as soon as I shut the water off, like, I'm done, start drying off, I'm out of the shower, I'm like, what was I talking about?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. And then I just go. I'm sure there was, like, million-dollar ideas that I came up with that I just never executed on over the years.
Very common. Very common. So don't feel like you're the only one.
Interesting. Huh.
But expectations and epiphanies are very, very related. I think that an epiphany is the precursor to an expectation. What happens in the brain, there's these little synapses that fire. And we're trying, you know, some of the research we're doing right now is trying to figure out what happens in between those epiphanies and the expectations and the actions that people take or the actions they don't take. I'm really interested in that. So we're doing some stuff with some very, really knowledgeable people and that work with brain waves and researching brain activity, because there's a little space. You know what I'm talking about? When you think about something and then all of a sudden it becomes an expectation. Well, how did that thought become that expectation and then take the expectation and, you know, what makes it become an action, or how does it work in the brain that way? But
interesting.
It is interesting, really, because, you know, if you just let it sit in your brain, you do forget it. And you, if
Definitely.
You don't put it into an action, it will never make a difference in the world. Because
Definitely.
Everybody has these great ideas and great thoughts. But the common thing is most people don't do anything with them because they can't remember them or they don't remember them. And that's why it's so important to write down these thoughts that you have when you have them. You know, even carry a recorder. You know, I used to carry a recorder with me and record them because I have them at odd moments, you know, when you would least expect it. And it's just important, you know, that you be able to sort through them and pick out the ones that you really are passionate about and the ones that you think have meaning and sort through them. So it's really important, I think, in helping
Definitely.
You transform and grow as a person. I'm a doer. I just got to be doing constantly. I just turned 71, and people say to me, when are you going to retire? And I'll tell them when they bury me. because
I'll just
never stop doing it. Really bothers me when I go out and I hear people. I was at the airport coming back from San Diego day before yesterday. I'm sitting there and talking to a guy, and he looked at me and he said, "What are you doing?" And I had told him what I was doing in San Diego, and he said, "Well, how old are you?" And I told him 71, and he looked at me and said, "Aren't you going to retire?" He said, "I retired at 60. And he said, "I do nothing but sit in a rocking chair." And I said, "Isn't that sad?" And he said,
"Sounds
looked at
awful."
Me and said, he goes, "No, that's not sad." He said, "That's great." And I said, "No." I said, "Tell me a little bit about what you've done in your life." And he actually had been in the military for 25 years. And I said, "What did you do in the military?" And he said, "Well, I worked on aircraft, and I was a Navy airman that repaired airplanes." And I said, "You have a host of knowledge." And I said, "I'll bet you there's things that you did that you could teach other people." I said, "Why sit around doing nothing when you could be changing people's lives?" And he looked at me and he said, "You know," he said, that's what I need to be doing. He said, "Because I get bored." He said, "You know, I lost my wife," and then we started talking about losing lives and all that. Mm-hmm. And I said, "You know, hey, the more active you become, the more involved you become, everything will start working out in your life. So I'm going to keep up with him." He gave me his name and number, and I told him, you know, I would help him and see where we can go with it. But he was excited, you know, because he had something to look forward to other than sitting mm-hmm. in a rocking chair. You know,
right?
I just can't do that. It's just not me. I have to be doing something. I have to be creating. Have to be working on something. If I wasn't doing this, I'd probably be taking cars apart and putting them back together. So, just because I want something to do, just something to do.
That's a lot of what happens with the military. You know, when they get, whether it be 4 years in the military or, you know, 20 years in the military, you know, there's a stat that says that the life expectancy of a retired veteran, they've done over 20 years. A retired veteran, or sometimes medically retired, is approximately 5 years. They have a life expectancy of 5 years because they lose their passion, they lose their purpose, they lose their camaraderie, they lose the brotherhood, and they don't know what to do next. And so they have no passion, no purpose, no mission. They don't know what to do. They don't want to sit in the rocket chair. So they lose their identity because that's what they've done for the past 20 years. This is their identity. And so it's a very sad stat, but it's really, I mean, that's the stat.
To me, that's heartbreaking to me because
it is.
They are such warriors and such good people who have given to this country and to each and every one of us. Their value is far greater than having them dwindle away in 5 years. I'll reach out and say this right now. I'll help any veteran that reaches out to me find their purpose.
Yeah, 100%.
I'll help any one of them. It's you know, it's part of me. So that's what I promise anyone that comes to me.
Right.
I don't turn anybody away. I can't.
Yeah.
So not in my heart and soul.
Right. Yeah, I was just on local news on Monday for Veterans Day, you know, talking about veteran suicide, veteran homelessness, what we can do for mental health and, you know, suicide hotline and all that stuff. And they were asking me, like, why is there such a barrier? Like, why is it so difficult for these veterans to get the care they need? And I said, well, part of it's pride. You know, we've fought wars. We've been deployed. We've, you know, seen and done things that people just don't understand. And we don't want to know that we have these issues, PTSD or sleep apnea or one of those things. We don't want to believe that that's us. But at the same time, we've been so strong forever, we don't know what it's like to be taken care of. My biggest fear is getting out of the military and being lost. I have no idea what I'm going to do. So before I get out of the military, that's one of the reasons why I started this radio show. This is one of the reasons why I knew this is what I wanted to do. You know, I travel around. I speak all over the place. I have a radio show. I do a lot of different things in my life that are going to help me transition out of the military so that it's an easier transition. It's never easy when you spend 20 years of your life, you know, fighting and defending freedom and, you know, working day in and day out and being told in your life is regimented and, you know, you're being told what to do every single day of your life. Go do this and go do that. And you have all this stuff to do. And it's such a fast-paced, you know, life that we live. And then it's over.
Yeah, and that's actually bred into us that, you know, we're supposed to work 20, 30 years somewhere, retire, yep. and kick back, you know, yep. when really what they should be ingraining in our heads is some kind of community service that when you're going to retire or something that is your passion. I mean, I know a lot of vets that are in car clubs and their life around it, but I don't think that that's enough because it doesn't take enough of the time between 8 and 5 during the day to keep them busy, you know? And part of what cures that is just going out and doing stuff, you know? I mean, just if you just start doing, everything will fall into place and you'll find your way and you'll find your passion. But if you don't extend out your reach and look at stuff, it's not going to happen. You're going to fall into that pattern. But I think the key to it is becoming a doer, just picking and choosing and doing. You know, some people choose to travel. There's all kinds of things you can do. But you've got to fill that time. If you don't, it'll eat you up.
Yeah, no, 100%, absolutely. You're 100% correct. The biggest thing that I see in the resilience training, suicide awareness training, everything that I do with military, is that they're looking for something that has as big of a mission. And, you know, some people in the military, they're like, well, I mean, I only fix this one thing. And then you're told, oh, but you're serving a great mission, you know. And so we put it into their heads that whatever it is that they're doing is the best mission in the world, and you're saving lives. Like, we make it this glorious thing so that when they get out of the military, they're like, well, I need to do something glorious.
Sean, let me tell you something. You can do that with anything that you do. My philosophy, and I've done a lot of things through my life, no matter what it is, I do it with all my heart and soul and passion. And I, in my head, when I was selling Christmas cards in July as a little boy, I did that to make money. In the back of comic books, they used to have these advertisements. If you bought, you'd send them $10 and they'd send you back all these Christmas cards and you could go door to door selling them. And I did that. I would do that and want to be the greatest salesman there was. It was in my head always to do everything to the best of my ability. And I would become the greatest that it was. It was with baseball. It was everything. And that's where managing your expectations come in, because we don't always become the greatest at something, but we can become the greatest in our mind. And as long as we know that we have done the best to our ability to do and doing something and it helps others, that's greatness. That is what greatness is. Because if you change one person's life or outlook, you never know what words are going to come out of your mouth that are going to change somebody else's life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the important thing, because it's always about changing other people's lives. Even when you don't think that you're changing somebody's lives, people are always listening to you when you're talking.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
100%. I cannot tell you how many times someone has looked at a post or whatever and then messaged me, private messaged me and said, hey, man, love what you're doing. Keep it up. You know, whatever. Love
the
post.
Isn't that the greatest
thing? Earlier, whatever. It's amazing. And then I ask him, well, how come he didn't like your comment? Well, sometimes I don't. I just, yeah, I'm kind of a looker. I'm like, huh. So it always got me thinking. I'm like, man, how many other people are not hitting that like button, hitting that share button? you know, not commenting on something, but yet I don't feel like I'm doing anything of value because I don't have a lot of likes, I don't have a lot of shares, I don't have a lot of comments. Like, is that
I get that all the time.
We base our value, we base our own value on our likes, share, and comments now. That seems to be the standard. That's the bar.
Either that or how much money we earn.
Right.
I mean, that's what a lot of people, their happiness and they grade their happiness and success on their pocketbook, how much they've made and increase that. And
yep.
Money will never buy happiness. Never. I don't care the richest guy in the world. It will not buy him happiness. It buys you the ability to do more things, which may lead you to finding what your happiness is about. But money will not buy you happiness. I think there's
right.
a lot of lottery winners that'll tell you that.
Yeah. I just think it's incredible that we base our value of our own selves off of the like, share, and comments that we get. Like somehow that social media is the new standard of how socially perfect you need to be. And it just blows my mind.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. A lot of people do place their value, particularly the younger generations, you know, that they've grown up with that social media. And I think they're going to be sadly awakened at some point in life when they realize that those likes and shares and all that don't matter. They just don't have, they really don't matter. It's what fulfills your heart and your soul and your passion.
I mean, social media can be shut down at any moment. Any moment, social media can be shut down.
Exactly. I mean,
so
yeah, yep. Could be about anything to shut it down. So I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So if anybody listening, as we wrap up the show, if you have any questions for myself or Art, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. We'd love to hear from you. So as we wrap up, you know, where are you headed now? What does 2019 look like for you?
Continue researching, continue speaking, doing my podcast, just keep growing and going.
I love it.
Yeah.
Growing and going.
I love it. Just won't stop.
I love it, man. I love your energy. I love your passion. So, yeah, I really appreciate that. So, at the end of the show, we always do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, products, movies. Give a shout out. Whatever it is you want to say, this is your moment to shamelessly plug and promote. Go.
In December 26th, look out for Shower Epiphanies. Write in to me with your Shower Epiphanies. We'll discuss them. I'll tell you what I think about them and I think what I think how they affect your life. And let's make your life better. It's all about you. Let's make you better. I want you to grow.
That's amazing. I just had a complete vision, okay? Literally, I had a complete vision of you and a microphone, and maybe it's interview-based, maybe sometimes, but I'm like, I can imagine, like, listening to the show, and you're like, hey, it's Art Costello with Shower Epiphanies, and then talk about the show a little bit, and then say, our first epiphany comes from Laura from Tennessee. Laura from Tennessee writes in that, but whatever, and you literally read their Shower Epiphanies, like, on air.
And then discuss them.
And then discuss why and how or what they should do or what, and like give actionable advice. Like, how freaking cool. I remember growing up listening to Casey Kasem. Do you remember Casey Kasem?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Man, do you remember the moments that she always did this, like every maybe like 8 to 10 songs that he would play? He'd be like, all right, we're going to take a letter from Laura from Tennessee. Laura writes in. Love it. Signed, Laura. I was like, Laura, this song is for you. You know, and then play it. I was like, I want to write a letter to Casey Kasem. Like, that, you know what I mean? Like, he was the most amazing radio personality. And that's what he did. That was his thing. That he would read letters that people had sent to him And he had a massive following, and there was no social media at the time. But he had a massive following for his radio show.
I think it's because he involved people. You felt a part of it, just like you felt a part of it. I used to feel a part of it. It made you feel attached some way.
That is amazing. You know what? Your show is going to be – like, I'm going to subscribe. I have to listen to the show every day. Because I know, like – it's. I don't know, man. It's so amazing. Like, I love what you're going to do, man. I'm going to be following you for sure.
If I can, we're going to have don't drop the soap moments.
Don't drop the soap moments. Oh, God. I had a guest on my show a couple of episodes back. They're amazing, amazing friends of mine, Pat and Sam Cullinane. And they have, I think they're back in like July or something like that. And they have a show, they're like relationship, marriage, you know. And so they said, well, if I ever come out with a podcast, it's going to be called Just the Tip. Oh, God. And it's like, we won't give you all of the answers. We'll give you just the tip. You know, and I was like, So. But it's so funny because he could, like, give tips, and then he was like, I'm going to include the audience, you know, and maybe, like, we'll have a segment called Ouch, Ouch, You're on My Hair. I'm just like, oh, my God. So, like...
What would really be amazing if he had that shower epiphany thought.
Right?
In the shower.
Right? Oh,
relatable.
So good. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much that you can do with a show like that. I think it's going to be amazing, man. Like, I wish you the best. I'm going to be following. Send me a link or whatever, man. I'll subscribe wherever your podcast is going to be at, man. I need to really hear it. So I think it's going to be amazing.
We're going to have guests and do interviews with people, and we'll explore their epiphanies that they have. I'll have you on the show.
Cool.
You already told me you have shower epiphanies, so I'm definitely going to have you on the show.
Like all the time. Yeah. The conversation with myself, you know, like, it's whatever. So as we wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
My best piece of advice that will transcend and make things happen for somebody's life is become a doer. Just go out and start doing things. Get off of your tails, get away from the computer, get away from the TV, and just start doing. And you will find what is going to light your fire. And then once you light that fire, burn up the world and make a difference. You never know who you're going to help. And you never know what's going to happen from it.
I love it. That's a great way to end the show. Art, my friend, I want to thank you for your service. Thank you for what you're doing in the world. And I'm excited to see what 2019 holds for you.
Thank you very much, Sean. And I appreciate what you've done for me. And I appreciate what you've done to service to your country. So I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much. Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest impacting the lives around him in every way. If anything resonated with you about Art Costello, reach out to him at expectationtherapy.com. Inside the show notes, you have Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Check him out. The email addresses, everything is right there. Reach out to him. Have a conversation and learn more about what expectation therapy is. You can subscribe, rate, and review Life Transformation Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, the Google Play Music app, Overcast, CastBox, wherever you're comfortable listening. You can listen to it right here on blogtalkradio.com. Look up Life Transformation Radio. I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review the show. And also subscribe, rate, and review Art's show coming out December 26th, Shower Epiphanies. It's going to be amazing, and you never know that you might have an epiphany in your life as you're listening to the show. So as we close, I always say live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart, and I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.